The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in week 749 of the Stanford and Steve and the Bear podcast. We are back. I don't think we ever left, but we're here. If you get a chance, check out the new SV pod that's out this week. Scott and I got back together on the old pod. He talked about having Corona. We dove in on what Giant fans should be doing and thinking and not saying. And we gave a little DFS lineup out. Scott's a DFS guy now, so go check that
really?
Out.
Really?
Not really. I surprised him, and he got mad, and I made him pick a lineup, and we did it live on the podcast. It was tragic podcast, but people actually liked it. And at the end, you'll like this, Bear. You'll like this. He's like, if you are still listening, send Steve a note, and he'll give you a dollar on Venmo. I had five. I woke up the other day. I had five requests for Johnny Smalls requesting a dollar for you. So shout out to the people that made it to the end. We had some fun.
That was nice of them. See, we just told people to go send a picture of his Thanksgiving turkey. We didn't ask for other people to
thank you,
get money from.
Thank you for all of you people, because you bombarded him that day and he had no idea what was going on. So that was a good, I got a good chuckle out of that one. I appreciate you guys doing that over Thanksgiving. But Bear,
speaking of what was the DraftKings fantasy lineup he gave out? What sport was it? Was it for
NFL playoffs? It was NFL playoffs.
Okay.
And you know, the wild card weekend edition. I'll just say this. His quarterback might not start. He went Wolf. So
yeah, because I threw together a quick little golf one for this week that I guess I got a little while still to adjust. But I
you got Martin Laird in there.
No Euro swinger Martin Laird.
Oh, I got him.
Did he even win last year? I don't think he even won last year. Oh,
he's in.
Yeah, is he? What did he win?
Played well late.
I look, I got Stewie Cink, bottom of the barrel.
Yeah,
salary cap wise, Sebastian Munoz, Adam Scott, Joaquin Neiman, Patrick Reed, and Patrick Cantley. Those are the six that I got right now.
I almost went Cantley, but I wanted to save him. All right, so there's Bear. Wow, 18, look at that. We got 18 picks.
To 1.
People want picks. You got picks. There's your goal of DFS.
Right off the bat.
Maybe it's a little too late, though, because people are going to get this, depending on how drunk our producer is.
I won't give out my Portuguese soccer under today, then.
Okay.
Be over by then.
We mentioned it is Thursday, January 7th. Late morning, early afternoon. We're trying to get the people something to stew on, and you'll be obviously in advance of the national championship. We've talked sporadically about how we got here, you and I on text. But when you look at this matchup, Bear, first off, when's the travel? You getting any little sunshine down in South Florida?
Saturday. Late afternoon arrival to Fort Lauderdale. And then so basically by the time we get to the hotel and get set up, it'll be Saturday evening, which is fine. Get to lock in for some playoff games, and then Sunday all day, Monday all day, then the game, and then home Tuesday. So
not like what it used to be, man. I'm sorry to people, but this weekend is freaking awesome. Everybody's in the office. Everybody's working around the clock. You know, it's that weekend. It's wild card weekend. So you got the TVs everywhere. Yep. Everybody's just sitting on each other's laps watching the NFL. All the guys you talk to, you know, ESPN guys and producers and production coordinators, they're all just there. Food's coming in, and everybody's just having the best time because – they know the end of the season's here.
Yep.
It's you know, who's going on what show. We got cameras right there. It is so much fun, and I really miss seeing everybody, all the people that set things up, all the people that go on the shows, the guys that I talk to help out things. It's really a bummer not to be able to see those guys in this. This is the best weekend to start the year. You get, like I said, you get to see those faces you haven't seen all year and hang out, maybe go get another nice meal. stuff like that. So I'm sure it's going to be minimal crew down there. Make sure you say hi to everybody for me.
Okay. I will. Yeah, it was minimal crew in New Orleans as well. Ugh. So it was just unfortunately the times that we're in right now, and hoping that next year will be a heck of a lot better. We'll see.
So you were in New Orleans.
Yes. By the way, you asked about travel, and I hinted at it in a tweet.
Oh, I saw it.
That, like, who thought that was a good idea in New Orleans with that airport? Like the new airport, the new terminal is great. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. But the bus ride from the old from the new airport to where the rental car center is at the old airport, goodness gracious. Like it's like at least 15. It's crazy how far away it is and how inconvenient it is.
Yeah.
And like I said, I thought I would not find a worse spot than Miami International Airport, which is the worst ever. But New Orleans gives it a run. But the fact that the New Orleans airport is new and actually functional as opposed to Miami International Airport, we still give New Orleans the overall edge over MIA. Okay.
Very good. I thought you were very nice with your words. All right, so you're getting down there Saturday. I believe the teams are going there Saturday.
Friday or Saturday, I think. Yeah. I'm not sure.
You know, obviously Fields with the ribs, whatever
he's
issue.
Fine. Okay. He's fine. He has no rib issue. He has a little bit of a hip pointer, but no other death. I think that was what a lot of people automatically suspected earlier in the week when there's the story about Ohio State and the COVID tests and how they might not be able to play and wanting it postponed. Mm-hmm. Like I think there was a pretty good school of thought out there, at least amongst the fans and obviously Coach Saban's daughter as well, that Ohio State was just trying to delay this game to get Justin Fields time to heal up. He has no rib issues. Everything is fine. He got a little bit of a hip pointer, but that's it.
As you would say, Bear, he's fine.
Correct.
He's fine.
Play ball. The funny thing is, like, the time off actually would have helped Alabama more to get Waddle another week of practice and another week of recovery time. So that's the irony in it all. That's a big story. Like, I'm
speaking of, go ahead.
I'm curious to see what is this just – hey, he's practicing just so Ohio State has to kind of game plan for him and account for him, or is he actually like legitimately going to play? So I think that's the goal over the next 4 days is like, is Jalen Waddle actually going to play, or is this just he's practicing and figure out a way to cover both of them?
Well, I just go back to Nick a couple years ago, Jalen Hurts freshman year, where he just wouldn't let anybody on. He had that whole rant after Jalen. I think it was USC he came in against the first game of the year, and he had no inclination to lead it on. And everybody's like, why? Well, how come he played the whole game? He's like, why do I have to tell you? You know, that's part of the game. Isn't part of the game, you know, keeping stuff from your opponent? So the way he brought it out, and then Sark comes out and just says, yeah, he practiced. We'll see how it goes. Like, that is just Saban to a T right there. Because, I mean, I'm thinking about, like, I wasn't watching the game he got hurt. I remember, I just, like, first game of the year, Missouri, with him out there and Devontae and everybody, you know, just, I mean, Mac looked as good as possible. I also think Missouri, looking back, they only gave up 38. Is that the lowest they scored all year?
Until the playoff, yeah.
Yeah, right. So it's just, I mean, you obviously got to respect it. It's really, really hard to, I would think, play straight man against that, knowing what you're giving up.
And they won't. And Ohio State won't play straight man against that. No way. Banks and Wade can't do that.
Hey, Travis, was Banks better than Wade, or was that me in the Sugar Bowl?
I think you're right. Wade just seems to bail out more, where Banks at least is – on his man. I'm not sure.
He's just
got to
learn to
find
the ball.
Yeah.
Yes. You got to turn your head around, play the ball a little better. But it seemed like that, but who knows?
All right.
Like that was a big thing on whatever night it was of the Friday night, Thursday, yeah. Friday night, right?
Yeah.
I just knew it was the first. Like Kerry Coombs and the staff did a really good job in putting their defensive backs in a position to succeed. And a lot of that was because of the pressure from the defensive line that they were able to get on Lawrence and shut down the runs, which is why if indeed the names on the defensive line that had been rumored may not be able to play, depending on which blog was that, Bucknuts, that posted the
it's
names?
Been on 11 Warriors. It's been on a Bama 24/7 board, okay. Too. They've been all over the place, and usually message boards take them for what they are, but they haven't missed with Ohio State's COVID results this year. It's unreal.
And you know how that goes with someone, and you like to kid about some of that stuff, but you're right. I mean, you know how that goes. It's either a player on the team who talks to his roommate, or a walk-on who talks to his roommate, or a student assistant, or in some way word gets out, and those sources are typically correct. So we'll see if indeed it is a positive test, or if they can test negative and get back out there, or if it's just contact tracing or whatever. But certainly it does give you pause to really wanting to make a strong stand and a play on this game right now, just because you don't know the state of the Ohio State defensive line and you don't know how healthy Jalen Waddle is.
And that's where I wanted to get to, Barry. It's 75.
Seems like a total that's too high.
And that, you know, it's starting to scare me because everybody I talk to says the same thing. But here's the deal. I absolutely love both offenses. I talked about before the Sugar Bowl, the opportunity that Fields had, and he went and took it like no one I've seen it in recent history. And Sark and Day are absolute assassins as play callers, absolutely foot on the gas. And I think, you know, watching the game, and I mean, they're both just fearless. And it's just because I really feel like they have confidence in their units that they can overcome any down and distance. So you don't know what's coming on first and 10. And then, you know, sudden change, whatever. It feels like it's sudden change. Guys are going for the throw all game long against these guys. And as much as I love everything about them, I still think they both want to run the ball enough.
Absolutely.
To control things. So that's why I think the under is just, I mean, that it's basically what 40, come on, do the math for me. It's predicting a score of 40. No,
we have 40 to 33, 41-34. That's what you're looking at. Something like that.
Wow.
41-34.
That's a lot. You know what that is? That is the ultimate. Are you getting touchdowns or field goals? Like this is, you know, for example, the Fiesta Bowl last year with Ohio State, you knew that, you know, Ohio State couldn't come punch it in early and, you know, it was going to be an under game and all that. That being said, going back and watching a couple things, you mentioned the Ohio State D-line, that poor left guard for Clemson. He's not going to want to watch that tape, that game. But the ability, and I say, I just keep saying, I know he's known, but the job Larry Johnson does with defensive line is just awesome. And I just love, we need more shots of him just hunched over, hands on the knees, because he never moves during the game. It's so awesome, that guy, the way he does things. And he's the first person over to the bench coaching his guys up. But like we said it all year, and it goes to my other point about the Ohio State offensive line. You have the numbers, right, of Zeke in the last three games and then Sermon in the last two? Like, well, Zeke yeah, was, that, what, that, 700 what, in the last three games of that
Zeke
season?
I have it all.
I'm pretty sure it's over 700 because it was the Big Ten title game.
Yeah, no, it's,
obviously the Sugar Bowl. And then the
220. That's a comparison. Yeah, 220 in the Big Ten championship, 230 in the semi, and then 246 in the title game. And Sermon went 331, 193. And okay. Zeke was 9.2 yards per carry in the span, and Sermon was 8.7.
A couple things. You will remember on that run everybody loves to talk about in the Sugar Bowl with Zeke. He didn't get
Zeke
touched.
Zeke looked so pretty on that shot.
He didn't get touched. Okay. Trey Sermon, touchdown. I think it was like 35, 40-yard touchdown run to tie the game up at 7 this past week. He didn't get touched. Okay. At some point, we have to talk about the idea that Ohio State's O-line is starting to gel. They didn't have guys playing. The Michigan State game, well, that was, I talk about all the time. One of the best efforts was Justin Fields not knowing where the snap was going every single snap and still scoring 40-plus. I know it's Michigan State, but still, that idea. I had my man Big Thanos out there, left tackle, 79. Like, that's what they do. And now they got to practice together. They got to play in game situations. They also had guys that played against Clemson last year, and people that don't want to mention things that game didn't mean anything. That means something when you're lining up against somebody. And you know what you know, there's little things that go down on the D-line and O-line with hand placement and leverage and stance and stuff like that. So Ohio State took advantage of all that. I think I was texting with Pollock after the game. I was just like, that's as hungry as a team as you could see. And like I said, go back to the D-line. The defensive backs made plays, but just how uncomfortable they made them. What was it, 5 straight possessions they scored touchdowns?
Yeah, it's funny you said, because we were talking about Ryan Day and Sark being great play callers and schemers, and maybe that leads to a bet. Maybe you got – I'm looking at DraftKings right now, and I see a first half total of 37.5, and maybe you go – over the total in the first half, thinking that that trend will continue. I mean, look, if you go back the last 6 games for Alabama, their 33 first half drives, excluding the kneel downs, they scored 25 touchdowns. That's unbelievable. And then if you look at Ohio State this year, the only game they didn't score on the first drive was the Clemson game, and then they scored in the next touchdowns in the next 5 drives. So it's touchdown, 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 field goal, punt. Oh, by the way, we're going to score 5 touchdowns in the next 5 possessions. So, like you have 2 great schemers, 2 great play callers here. So maybe you give those guys the edge in the first half, thinking there might be some points scored early, and then maybe things kind of settle down a little bit in the second half if indeed this game is close.
I think people are going to really like that pick by you because you've been really good in first halves. Just so you know.
Yeah, I was going to say that. The Alaska Northwestern thing worked out, and then the Alabama. I'm so mad about just I try not to put derivatives and halves and stuff on the board, but I'm really mad that I just didn't put that Alabama first half on the board on January 1st.
That should be a discussion next year. Should be game day. What is off the table? What is on the table?
I should be able to. It's my board. I can put whatever I want.
Yes.
There we go. It's funny because you mentioned the motivation and how angry and excited Ohio State looked. And that was you learn throughout the week. It really, really built Ohio State was extremely motivated to get back and not only get back to the playoff, but to get in a game against Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of took the other side of it. Hey, look, Clemson had heard all year long that the better team didn't win. And I said the better team didn't win that day, but Clemson did win. And they're going to hear, and there's going to be equal motivation for Clemson. But it sure looked like Ohio State not only was the more excited, motivated, energized team, but indeed they were the better team for the second straight year.
Absolutely. Which gets me to another question I have for you. Do you buy into the idea that was Ohio State's Super Bowl?
No. No. I think
I don't either, because I think Ryan Day is that good.
Correct. I do.
The coaching staff is that good, I should say.
Correct. I think that was a step in getting to the Super Bowl. The college football playoff in itself is the Super Bowl, the 2-game sequence, and now they have to hear about going up against SEC, Alabama. And oh, by the way, they beat Alabama in 2014. I know, completely different coaching staff, completely different team. But I think what happened on Friday night, there were a couple of things that immediately, and I said it on Saturday morning as well. I think number one, Ohio State, it seemed like they knew all year long they could get by with a B-minus, B effort, overcome all the injuries and COVID issues that they've had, because they knew that they would be in if they were undefeated and or won the Big Ten. And then when they got to the playoff, people would kind of forget how good that they were supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And then they just unleashed a bag of whoop-ass, can of whoop-ass on everybody. And that's kind of what it felt like to me watching that game on Friday night. Like, everybody kind of fell asleep at the wheel on, like, how good, how talented Ohio State really is. And I think a lot of it, too, it comes back to the whole six-game thing. Like, Ohio – and, like, I was vocal about it. I said – but it was never anti-Ohio State. It was always – I didn't like the way the Big Ten handled it, not liking the result that they, their rules implemented, and then they changed the rules. It was never – and I always added, Ohio State is going to be in the playoff regardless of whether they win the Big Ten and play Northwestern or if they play Iowa and finish – they're in the playoffs. It was never like me – doubting Ohio State or like questioning whether they belong or not. I just didn't like the way the Big Ten handled everything this year. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that matter, but Ohio State did prove it's funny how you don't really hear much of that this week. That, oh, Ohio State good enough now. I think they more than answered those questions against Clemson.
Okay. Next question. Can Ohio State play better than they did in the Sugar Bowl? No way they could, man.
That's why.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah, no. All right. I took a little drink as well, so I didn't want to
I didn't want to make you spit.
No. We're good.
I'm just trying to think. You know, the depth of these rosters, I think, is really important to point out here, because we talk about what Ohio State's done. For that time, it felt like it was a different team out in the field every week.
Mm-hmm. And it was.
Yeah. So the idea of
line, that was the unit that was hurt that had COVID issues all year long.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't play together. And Kirk pointed that out. Like, all the people who said, like, oh, it's a benefit, fresh legs are going to be like, mm-hmm. He pointed out the exact opposite, saying, like, it's a problem for Ohio State because they're never able to develop any continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for interrupting you.
No, it needs to be pointed out, because you heard Ryan Day and Dabo talking about it, how recruiting, whenever they show up, if Ryan Day shows up to a school, Clemson's already been there or they're coming in the back, you know, coming in the next day. Clemson, you know, Dabo talked about Ryan Day already talking, like, recruiting the same guys. Alabama, you look at their roster, like, they're coming up, like, they're getting guys out of here, you know, they've – Loxley did an awesome job in starting, you know, a little pipeline up here in Baltimore in the DMV area. They got guys from Chicago, all over the place on the Alabama roster. So the recruiting, I really think, needs to be pointed out, because there's plenty of people that say, you know, oh, another top five class. Well, what are they doing with it? Like, look at what both teams overcame. Ohio State, you know, had injuries on that O-line, replaced them with five-star guys. Dickerson goes out for Alabama. What was it? Owens, right? 79, big Chris Owens comes in, plays center, and they go. And it does help that you have Najee Harris carrying the rock in there. But, like, I don't want to say it was, you know, they didn't lose anything, because obviously they did. Dickerson's an incredible player, but they looked a hell of a lot better than they did when they were trying to run the clock out against Florida in the SEC championship game. So, just a huge shout out to these coaching staffs, because they do get these guys. They do develop them. This is also a good case, Bear, of – I know Brad started this way back to the 9-6 game. But just, you know, going back like 4 or 5 years later and counting how many pros, you know, you go, mm-hmm. you start with the 5 stars that were in the game, and then you go to the draft picks that were in the game. Like, this is the – and, like, we want this game. We want these two teams to play each other. You know, you asked before we started the pod, the casual fan, you know, what are they? Are they rooting for the maniac fan base that we all aspire to be, I guess you would say, with the 11 Warriors in Ohio State? Or are they rooting for Alabama? Or are they tired of Alabama? It's a fascinating thing. And I've watched – God, I've gone back. Because now it's the 20 – I want to do it the right way. When they play in the Sugar Bowl, it's the 20.
It was the 2021 Sugar Bowl. Just the game.
No. When Ohio State played Alabama.
When they beat them.
Yeah,
that was the 2000. Was it New Year's Eve?
No, it was
New Year's Day, January 15th.
January 1, 15th. So
it's the 2015 Sugar Bowl. 2014 college football playoff.
The 2015 Sugar Bowl, I've gone back and watched about 7 or 8 times. SEC Networks played it. Big Ten Networks played it. ESPNU had it on. I think I watched it Christmas night when the kids went to bed. And I will admit, that game, I never thought, never gave Ohio State a chance because I didn't think Cardale could do it. And what ends up happening in that game, like, the crowd is incredible. Alabama's up 21-6 in that game. Yep. And it's just haymaker after haymaker. And Sims plays his worst game of the year. Horrible picks. Cardale wasn't great, but he got his picks out of the way early on in the game. But and then the best thing is I texted you in the head dog, the coordinators in that game going head-to-head, Tom Herman versus Kirby Smart. Like, that's just and it wasn't that long ago. And just to see people at a game losing their minds every snap, like, that was crazy. And you talk about pros all over the place in that game. But this one feels different because I feel like Ohio State's more capable, and that's because of the quarterback position, right? Just that alone, when you compare this game to that game, like, I you know, and by the time they got to the title game, I remember you and I were all over Ohio State in the title game against Oregon. That was a cakewalk.
Yeah, yeah,
when you look at those rosters.
That was like you know, position group by position group. And the only position, like, you could say Oregon is better is quarterback. Like, every position Ohio State was better, and why Oregon was a 6-point favorite over they were in the game was comical.
And
by the way, but the Buck Nuts reporting in to answer your question from before, whether that was Ohio State Super Bowl. For the fans, yes, but not the team.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Would you get that off a message board?
Yeah, try to be a producer, throw some things up there on the screen for you guys, trying to help you out here.
You're just waiting and waiting. How do you feel? Come on.
It's going to – I mean, I don't – how do we play that same game again? And if the players that are being rumored are out, I think that's a tough pill to find a way to beat them because you need that defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But to the most fans, beating Clemson was it. Now this is like the icing.
This is a whole lot of icing.
It's actually its own separate cake.
Yeah, I was going to say this
one. It's another tier.
Yeah, you better be enjoying that other one. That's why
if they postpone it another week, that just means another week of being a flying high.
Yep, that's.
Do you have a Fitbit or an Apple Watch or anything, Bucknuts?
No, I have Twitter. You can tell how I'm doing there.
No. Because I was going to set a prop. It's Thursday. So I'll have Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. I want number of hours of sleep Bucknut will have between now and Monday in those 4 nights.
So I do have a Fitbit. I can put it on. Now, I will tell you, New Year's Day, I woke up at 5:30 in the morning and I went to bed at like 2.
Speaking of sleep, I was gonna
put it at like 30 and a half. There's no way he's getting 8 hours of sleep a night. No way.
No chance. Speaking of sleep, did you see the New York Times article on who they gave their national championship to?
Bob Diaco's UConn Huskies.
Not anymore, Bob Diaco.
Well, it's always going to be Bob Diaco.
Correct.
UConn Huskies.
Did you see Coach Edsel's quote?
No, I did not. I basically saw the comments about people. I'm like, I can't read this.
Bear. His quote. This is right because I don't have it in front of me. He says, during the normal seasons, I really don't sleep that much. I will say, this past season, I slept very well.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Oh my God! And I don't know.
Are they playing in the spring? I know New Mexico State, right, is playing.
I don't think so.
And like in Old Dominion, like they're playing in the spring too, or not? Like I know New Mexico State.
They possibly could be, but like UMass went out and played 4 games.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Oh man. I saw that quote. I'm like, I gotta get that. Not enough people saw that. I gotta get that out to the people.
I forget exactly how Gene Wojciechowski worded it in the his like essay reflection on the 2020 season that we, mm-hmm. we ran. I think it was at conference title day, but and like the final, it was blah 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 blah, and then the final line was, and I hope we never get to do it again. Like that's the perfect way to sum up this. I hope we get to never do this again.
Correct. How the hell we got to UConn football, I don't know. Which has Bucknuts not sleeping. Okay. We don't have the player props. I do lean Ohio State right now. I do lean the under. I will say a couple player props I want to get out there. Jahlil Billingsley, tight end for Alabama. Whatever his over is. I look at Sark and I look at what that kid does in the past. Like, he's not really – he's a tight – they haven't listed as a tight end. He's one of the fastest guys on the team. He covers kicks. He returns kicks. Like, the guy is a mismatch nightmare. And what I really think – I mean, Sark and Day are so good where whether they're putting the formation into the boundary and creating stuff, you know, in the open field. Like, what was it? What was the cross – Not the stop route in the end zone. The tight end across, was that to make to go up 7-88? Remember the long delay played, and then he ran back across the field. I'm trying to think. I think
that they might have been up 14-7.
Okay, like that's just creating like one on one stuff, in which Day is awesome because he throws all these guys into the boundary and then runs them off and then comes back with that stuff. Like, you're gonna see a ton of that stuff. Those guys trying to create one on ones. And I really think Billingsley is a mismatch nightmare. Knowing Ohio State doesn't have great speed if they get on linebackers. And I think both teams, when you look at the secondaries, their corners are better than their safeties. So I look at Alabama. I look at Jahlil Billingsley, whatever he is going to be. I'm probably going to ride to hurt myself, and people are going to hear this and look at Betum, so the overs are going to be inflated. But it brings me back to one of my favorite prop bets ever. When I gave out Irv Smith in the title game when they got waxed and he hit it on the first drive, and I could care less about the game because I had more on that prop than I did on anything in the game. And that was
I was going to bring that up too. Alabama's tight ends have had massive days and been a big part of the playoff games for them. Speaking of tight ends, was that not the ultimate recruiting pitch by your Georgia Bulldogs, Eric Gilbert, in that Peach Bowl the other day against Cincinnati. And I think they threw like more passes to their tight ends in that game than they did the entire season. That was by the way, where was that kid all year long? I mean,
I don't know.
You talk about, like, why does it always look like George's like young players who haven't played all year long are better than the ones that actually like play all year long? I ask you as a Georgia fan.
Because I think the same thing. They're really like, if I'm frustrated with the team, can you imagine what their fans are? I feel for, because it's just the same thing over and over and over. But there's got to be some lack of trust there with the coaching staff and those young guys. And it makes me think, you know, look at JT Daniels. What? I mean, they're going to say he wasn't healthy. Like, really? Like, I mean, that was pretty evident how much better of a player he was at the position than the other options. So I just think there's a lot going on. And I wonder if they try and do too much schematically. And you look at how fast these other guys are playing and, you know, stuff like that. So, like, between developing talent, you know, systems, I think there's a lot where they hold it on themselves and they don't have that trust in the players. And then at the end, they're just like, all right, let's go. You know, we lost two games early in the year. Go ahead. Let's let everybody go. So I will say that.
And then there's the – I'm just going – I just had to go back through my text chain with my buddy, my Georgia friend. And then there's the, dude, we have to figure out a way to turn Kirby's headset off at crucial junctures in big games. Seriously. And then there's that.
There is. They play Clemson, right? Start next year.
first game of the year. I would
in Charlotte.
In Charlotte.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, Bear. I said Ohio State in the under right now. Billings. Oh, one other prop. Trey Sermon receptions. I think he is going to get fed like no other. So I look at Trey Sermon receptions. I think it was only like 2.5, maybe even 1.5 against Clemson. So that's going to be inflated a little bit. I really just like Notre Dame tried to, you know, I'm trying to think of a way to explain it. But when Alabama was going like big personnel and it looked like they would, you know, they wanted to run the ball with Najee Harris, and Sark actually throws the ball out of that stuff.
Four receptions against Clemson, by the way.
There you go. Yeah, I think the over-under actually was 1.5. So I like that over. But just like the idea of how they use Najee Harris, you know, in the leak out in the passing game, like if the safeties do back the hell out of there on the deep stuff and there is all that room, and, you know, I think I'm pretty sure the hurdle Najee had was a reception. Just like that, I think Ohio State's going to do that with Trey Sermon and try and get out of there and then get him on space against Bama's guys. So Ohio State, the under, Billingsley over receptions and yards, and Trey Sermon over receptions. Hope everybody can remember that. You, sir.
I'm leaning towards Ohio State right now as well. Mm-hmm. It's not a super – so I'm going to try and wait and gather as much info as I can. I do have some NHL point totals for you, though.
Okay.
That I
like. Do you have an NFL pick?
And I'm just waiting to see. Here's the question that I posed, and we talked about on Daily Wager last night.
Ooh.
Your three-team tease, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Buffalo. Which team blows it up?
Who's screwing it up?
Which team blows it up?
I had a question, like, because it's Breeze.
You know one of them will.
I think the Colts have a chance. I'm not taking them, but I think they have a chance just because of the offensive line. And I think they have the versatility on defense to
keep everything
Buffalo in check. And I think the Cole Beasley thing is huge. If they don't have him, that's enormous. Enormous. But anyway, hockey totals. What do we got?
Who's good
this year?
Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado's I figured really that.
Good. McKinnon. And the divisional alignment.
How good was the game the other night? Team USA.
That was great.
How good?
So much fun. I love hockey. Is the best live sport to be in as a fan. God, I hope I get to some games this year. So much fun. But yeah, Colorado's win point totals high at 75. With what, 56?
What are they games? Doing? Are they playing 72 like the NBA?
They're playing 56.
Oh.
They're playing 56.
Oh, so we need a calculator out to convert.
Well, here you go. I already.
All right, let's do it.
But so, like, can Colorado go 35, 15, and 6? And remember, they're going to be playing Anaheim. They're going to be playing the Kings.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to be playing San Jose, who are three of the worst teams in the league. Now, they have Vegas and St. Louis in that division as well. So that's a little bit of a problem, but they're so loaded. And I think the way last year ended with all their guys getting hurt and losing to Dallas in 7 games, like I think they could put up like a lightning type year from a couple of years ago. So I like Colorado over 75. My favorite one is Calgary over 63.5. Another team that's been snake bitten by some early postseason exits in recent years, but bringing in Markstrom, I think, is going to be a massive improvement for them. For the first time in like forever, it's going to seem like they don't have a platoon in net, and they're going to have a legit number one. So, and they still got between Tkachuk and the other guys that they have on that team. They have a really good core. So, Calgary over 63.5. Again, they're in that division as well, where they're going to be.
Say it how Coach Melrose says it.
Calgary. Absolutely. And then the Shark, or the Chark, as one of my Canadian friends says.
Okay.
Under 56.5.
Again?
They have Well, they this is a team like
they were abysmal last year,
and they're going to be abysmal this year because they didn't have a first round pick for that Carlson deal. They got one of the worst goaltending situations in the league. They were a year older, and they're in a brutal division. So the Chark under 56.5 was the number that I had seen and gotten it. I don't know if that's still out there. So those are the
anything in the East. You don't like any? What about our Isles? Where are we playing? Where are we playing games?
The Mausoleum.
Okay. So is Brooklyn done?
No, I think they're going to play a couple games. I'll be 100% honest. I don't fully know.
Okay.
But yeah, I looked in the East. I did look at the Flyers under 65 just because that division's going to be really, really hard. And
so that's Boston. That's Boston, New York, Boston, New York, New Jersey,
New York, New York,
Philly,
New Jersey,
Washington,
Philly, Washington, Pittsburgh, Buffalo. Like in Philly was kind of fraudulent last year. Like if you look at some of their advanced metrics in terms of expected goals and things like that, that they were nowhere near as good.
But Gritty's going to be at the games. They're letting Gritty go. Gritty can go to the games.
Terrific. That's important. So, so Philly under 65 was one that I liked in the East. So I'm going to do a little bit more digging. And I wanted to like Florida over. I was on Florida last year, and I think they'll be improved this year in Quinville's second year there. But I'm not 100% certain on that. But yeah, Calgary playing all those Canadian teams. There isn't really a great team there.
Okay.
Ottawa, you got Ottawa, Edmonton, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, Winnipeg. I think they should be able to get 64 points fairly easily. And then the one I like the most in the East right now would be the Flyers under, but I'm going to do a little bit more digging. We got till January 13th to try and find
something. All right. Maybe we get something out there for the people. I was just reading brutal stuff on how high of a note the Blackhawks ended their season on last year. And then to see how they're going to have to start this year is just brutal, man. And then that schedule, that one's no cupcake either.
Yeah, because you got Dallas and Tampa Bay and Nashville.
Yeah.
and Carolina.
Yep. Are the Red Wings ever going to be good again?
It's going to be a while.
Okay. I'll check back in on them. Okay.
Well, I was going to say get back to us in like 20.
What about Vegas? Vegas, those front runners.
Vegas is good.
Yeah.
Vegas is stacked.
Are they?
I mean, they did.
Are they in? Are they in the same division with Colorado?
Yes.
Whoa.
And they lost some of the guts of their team as well. They're kind of going through a little bit of a transition as well. And we'll see if their last couple of years, what's happened in the play. It's so hard to really fully gauge and judge last year with the postseason and the bubble as well. It was awesome to watch as a fan.
Yes, that's what I said.
But it's so hard to really draw a bunch of super conclusions off of it. So I don't want to overreact to Vegas not getting to the cup final.
All right. I like in the NFL, I think the Saints game stays under. And I'm really fascinated by the idea of this narrative of, you know, you got to put pressure on Tom Brady, and Washington could do that with four guys.
Damn right they can.
What quarterback does well with pressure in his face? Like it's unbelievable. Like it's the only thing people say about Brady. It drives me crazy.
I love that. You got to get it up the middle.
Got to get him off his spot. Yeah. So does Ohio State has to get Mac Jones off his spot too.
But here's the other thing. Washington still has to find a way to score points.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a fascinating matchup. That ain't going to be
beautiful
pretty.
How beautiful was that on Sunday night, by the way?
Oh.
That was awesome. If that game would have been played at 1 o'clock in the afternoon with seven other games going on at the same time, nobody would have – well, I should say nobody. It would have – the only reason people talked about that was because it was the primetime game and everybody was watching – and you had the New York Football Giants potentially with the playoff berth at 6-10. You went 6-10. Shut up.
It's
It's cute when the Jets.
Well, look what happened. Because this is my other hated thing, and that we have to do on Daily Wager. It feels like every week is the NFL MVP talk. Rodgers won the MVP because he played in a snow game. Everybody was watching, and it looked cool, and he threw touchdown passes in the first half. He won the MVP that night because of that. So MVP, whoever has most Sunday night games next year at the end of the season, but you don't know because the games get flexed there. So, I'm fired up for Tennessee and Baltimore. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I wish Vrabel could line up and get out there.
He might. He should with that defense.
Anything else?
Travel
safe. All right.
Thank you. Wish you were there. Wish we could do a.
Where are we staying? Are we staying up by the stadium, or are we down on the beach?
We're staying in technically, I don't know if it's technically considered Hollandale.
West or, Hollywood.
No, Hollandale Beach, I think it is.
Diplomat.
No. Hyde Beach House.
Okay.
It's nice. It's where we stayed for the Miami, Florida State show that we did.
Very nice.
Nice place.
All the best to you guys. Herbie's
good. Herbie's feeling great. He'll be there, and yeah, he's looking forward to it. That was fun. It sucked not to have him in the booth the other night. Just from my workflow and my work standpoint, the communication was a little awkward. But he called a great game, and there are people who said like they didn't even know. So exactly. I'm looking forward to having him in the booth on Monday night.
All right. Bucknut, can you check in with me Tuesday morning? Make sure you're alive.
I think you'll know if I'm alive or not.
You're getting muted on Twitter, just so you know.
Oh, I already figured I was.
Okay. All right.
No, don't mute him. It's fun because
because Travis, you'll appreciate it. Bear just sends them to me.
Well, like, also, Bear says it's okay, don't mute it. But then he tweets and like tells me to calm down and stuff. Like,
Bear plays both sides.
That's
why you don't mute him.
Bear wants me to annoy everybody else but doesn't want to hear it.
I know. I just want to wind him up and press his buttons as the game goes along. That's why you don't mute him. It's just like a kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You just self-amusement.
Very good. All right. Good luck. Travel safe. And everybody out there, hit us up on Twitter if you have any questions. Like I said, I don't have any of the player props, but I wanted to get that stuff out for the people. Good luck, and have a good one. Bear, take us away.
If this is the Oklahoma-Florida game or Eagles-Washington, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.